Okay, you're all too scattered, so come on up. It's better up here. And I have some handouts, but it'll just be for, I'll start handing them out to the people who are farthest up front. And if you're too far back, you might not get one. They do say there's a photocopy machine around here, but I can't count on whether it's working or not. So, presenting the gospel innovatively, or being creative about sharing the gospel. Welcome to this workshop. Glad to have you here. Glad you stayed around for the afternoon. If we're going to be involved in church planting, one of the things you have to do is you have to evangelize and witness till you're blue in the face, because you just can't count on other minnows moving in. And so if it's not going to become a Mennonite background church, you have to win them faster than you birth them. That means you have to win them to Christ faster than you can have babies. Okay? Otherwise, it's going to become another Mennonite background church. As a boy, I grew up on a farm out in Oregon, a very timid boy. And when I accepted Christ, I was 9 years old. And a couple of things happened inside of me when I accepted Christ. One was, I wanted to read the Bible. And then the other one was, I wanted to learn how to share Christ with people. But I had a big problem. I was a small boy with a big fear and very timid. And so one day, I saw an advertisement for a booklet that said, 10 easy steps for winning, for sharing, for soul winning. So I saved up my allowance money, and I ordered it. And when I got it, it did have 10 steps. They just left the easy out. Well, it was easy for the author, but it wasn't easy for me, because after all, I was what kind of a boy, besides being small? I was very timid, very shy. And so this has been a journey for me, learning how to share the gospel with other people. Let's see. Norrell, if you'll count how many people we have here and see if we need to make some more copies. Please don't count the people in the last two rows, because they're so far back. They didn't come up far enough, so they don't get any copies. Just kidding you. All right. Okay. Now, what I want you to do first, get your Bibles, because this is supposed to be a workshop rather than a lecture. And Heather, if this gets boring for you and too much repetition, you just go out to the other workshop, okay? Or else you tell them what I'm supposed to say and help them hear it better. Okay. So, what I'm going to do, I'm going to call out references. This first point is some lessons from Jesus about sharing the gospel creatively. How many do you have, Norm?
I need about 40.
40, and I have about 25. So that means we need another 15. Okay, we've got 40. Now, I'm going to call out references, and I want four of you to take a reference. And what you're going to do is look up in that verse or verses to see what creative means did Jesus use. To witness. I don't want you to read the verses to us. I don't want you to go detail by detail through the whole thing. I want you to tell me, what did Jesus do to share the gospel creative? All right. John 4:7. Are there four of you out there that are awake? Raise your hands. One, two. Come on, two more. I don't want to spend time gathering people here. Three. Okay. All right. Matthew 18:2. Matthew 22:19. Don't be shy. There's one. Everybody's going to end up, so don't count on everybody else to do it, right? Okay. Matthew 19:17. Come on, some people over here. Okay. Only the people over here have Bibles? All right. Matthew 19:17. Henry? Yes. One more? Yes. Cleo. Okay. John 9:6. One, two, three. Okay. Luke 13:1. One, two. One more. Three. Okay. John 9:2. One, two, three. Okay, Matthew 9:2. One more. Two. Okay, Matthew 13:34. One. Two. Another one is Luke 19:5. Okay, now, who are the people who haven't raised their hands yet? Okay, there's one. I scared you out there. Okay, Luke 19:5. Let's get another one scared out of the bushes. Who else didn't raise your hand yet? Okay, you. All right, John 1:39. One more. Okay. And Matthew 8:7. When you rub your eyebrow, I count you. Okay. Who else? Matthew 8:7. Please. Two people. One. One more. Just one more. Okay. You did rub your eyebrow, right? Okay, you are looking up Matthew 8:7. Okay. Now you read that verse just to yourself, and you tell us, what did Jesus use as a means of witnessing creatively? And if you can't find an answer, then maybe the other person can. All right. So, lessons from Jesus and witnessing creatively, innovatively. John 4:7. The two or three of you stand up. How did Jesus use, what creative means did Jesus use? He asked for something.
That's what I had to ask for drink.
Ask for help. Ask somebody for help. Instead of asking a Christian, ask a non-Christian. Thank you, gentlemen. Okay? Ask for help. The next one, Matthew 18:2. Who are the two people or three or four that took that one? One, two. Ladies first, and?
Well, they used the child to illustrate what he said.
Aaron?
Set the child in the midst.
Okay, so he used an object lesson, right? So, when you can, use object lessons. Matthew 22:19. Who are the ones that have that? Yes?
Show me the tribute money.
Okay, and, brother?
Yeah, he used the money, and it says later that they marveled.
Okay. So, he was creative and he took money, right, as an object lesson. And then he asked a question. So, that was his creative means there. In another place in Matthew 6, where he warns people not to worry, he tells them to look at, what did he tell them to look at? Do you remember? Don't worry. But look at the lilies, the flowers, the birds, and the grass. Okay, so use object lessons. Welcome, Victor. Hey, you guys are sitting too far back. It keeps getting better the farther you up, farther forward you are. Okay? All right. So use object lessons, things that are close at hand, that you can draw lessons from them. Matthew 19:17, for you who just came in, welcome. Our topic is presenting the gospel innovatively or creatively, and we're looking for ways that Jesus used creative means to be a witness. So far we've seen asking for help, using an object lesson. Now, Matthew 19:17, who are the ones that have that? Yes. Okay, a young lady. Okay.
I was going to say the same thing. Begin by asking a question.
Henry, what were you going to say?
I was thinking we were talking about 14.
Okay. All right. He asked questions. And a very interesting study is to go through the Gospels and look at all the questions that Jesus asked. Sometimes they would ask him a question and he would answer with another question. He was a master at that. In fact, Jewish rabbis still do that today. Asking questions and answering questions with questions. Okay? John 9:6. Good. Even better. Okay. Anita?
Well, he used his saliva and mixed it with the clay and the ground.
Okay, and Wilma, what were you going to say? Carolyn? Brothers?
He's going to use a spit in the clay.
Okay. Use what you've got close by, right? Use common things. You can't get anything more common than dirt and spit. All right? So use common things. Okay. Use what you have at hand. And the Holy Spirit is very creative. And if you're listening to him, he'll show you things that right close to you that you can use to illustrate and to be a witness. Okay, Luke 13, 1. I know Heather best. Okay, Heather?
They mingle with them and just like were present with them.
Okay, hang out with the people. All right, and the young lady beside you? Yes.
He used aggressively what they were talking about. He used that to further discuss.
Yeah. Good. So he used what they were talking about, and he hung out where the people were. And this was the case where he says they had heard about the pool, the tower that had fallen on some people, and some people that they had been killed and their blood mixed with the pig's blood, I think. And let's, before I add some of my own to that, let's go to John 9, verse 2. You're okay. Don't worry.
I think because he used a question that they asked him, and then he was able to talk through that.
What was their question?
They asked the man that was born blind, he had sinned or his parents had.
Thank you. And brother?
Yeah, asking the question about the sin.
Okay, so use the questions of the people. Start with the questions they're asking. But out of both of these verses, I got this as well. Take advantage of current events or tragedies, and you can talk about that. You can start with something physical that's happened, and you can work your way to spiritual topics. If, for example, there's a suicide bomber, and somebody said, "My, isn't that terrible? You know, 80 people were killed in northwest Pakistan as a revenge for Osama bin Laden's killing." You say, "Yeah, that is terrible. Why do you think there's so much evil in the world? You know, where did that come from? Is that a spiritual topic?" Or you can say, "You know, what if that would have been in one of our Walmarts and you and I would have been one of the victims? Do you know where you would be right now?" See how you can use these things? Don't get sidetracked and say, "Now, was this person more of a sinner than the ones that didn't get killed? Is that why bin Laden got killed? Because he was so much worse sinner than everybody else," and so on. So you have to be a little bit careful about how you use some of these. But Jesus used current events. He worked from physical to spiritual things. And he acknowledged the presenting problem, like the man that was born blind, and they asked him about it. So he takes the problem right at hand, and then he starts working off of that toward spiritual topics. And these things are around us all the time, every day, and we can make use of them. Matthew 9, verse 2. Who of you has that? Did I skip over that one? Okay, who will take it? Yes, sister. Okay, the man that was born with palsy, or had it for a long time, is that the one where his friends bring them for Jesus to heal him? And what's the first thing that Jesus said to that man? Okay, he said, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." Now, is that why that man came there? The man came for healing, and Jesus looked at him and said, "Son, you're forgiven." So, what I get from that is, be alert to needs that are not so obvious. They're always there, close at hand. And Jesus saw that that man's need was not just for healing, but for forgiveness. So be alert to that. Matthew 13:34. Who is that one? Okay. Is this lady the only one, or is somebody hiding out there? Okay, sister.
He spoke in parables.
So what do you get out of that?
Just stories to illustrate the point.
tell stories. Should we ask her to tell a story before she sits down? You may be seated. In fact, in that passage it says, and without a parable, he did not teach them anything. That means Jesus was a master storyteller. And you say, well, I can't tell stories. Well, you used to when you were about 5 or 10. In fact, your parents wished you wouldn't make it so long because it would go on and on and on, right? Creative stories. We can all tell stories. And one of the stories can be the story of our own conversion. Or you can take stories that Jesus told, the parables. Those are wonderful, wonderful ways to witness. And you include people in it. What do you think about this? Or what would you have done in this case? Or what do you think Jesus was trying to accomplish by this lesson? Don't give the answer to it at the end. Let them say first. And when they give an answer, they say, well, I think he was trying to say, and they give some really way out answer. I mean, it's way off. You can just say, smile, say, well, that's very interesting. I'd never thought of it like that before. And they'll feel so impressed. Oh, I'm so good. And you say, do you mind if I tell you my idea? And they won't say no. And then you tell them. Or like, you know the story of the prodigal son? And when I get done telling that story, then I ask them, so, what do you think Jesus was trying to tell about this through this story? They give me their answer. And then I tell them, I think he's trying to say that there are three kinds of people. Some are like the elder brother. They are very religious and good, but they're close, but they're far away from God in their hearts. And then there are other people like the young man in the faraway country. They're far away from God. Wine, women, whatever, they couldn't care less. And then there's another kind that they're coming back and they're being reconciled to God. And now they're close at home and in their heart too. And then I ask them, which are you right now? And people will say. In fact, one time one person said to me, he says, I'm like the fourth one. I said, the fourth one? Tell me about it. He says, well, I'm like the one that's on his way home and hasn't gotten back yet. Isn't that great? And you will find that as you use these stories and you tell them, the Holy Spirit will help you and give insights that are so amazing. In fact, some of those insights will come through the mouths of the unsaved person who's talking to you about it. You'll say, I never thought about it that way. That is so good. So, tell stories. Luke 19, verse 5. Who has that one? Okay, let's start with, which of the young ladies shall we start with first? Let's start with, okay, this young lady here. Then. Okay, and what did you think? Very good, thank you. So look around for opportunities and do like Jesus did, invite yourself to someone else's home. Hey, when can I come over to your house? I'd like to try your food, or I'd like to see your place. So invite yourself, okay? What about this one, John 1:39? Who has that one? Okay, young lady.
Say, come and see. He invited them to come and see.
Who invited whom? He invited the two disciples that were followers of John that were looking at him, watching him. What did you think, Jeremy?
Yeah, he invited them to come to his house.
Okay, what did they asked him, Rabbi, where do you live? Just sort of, you know, they're trying to think of something to say. And he says, did he say 51 Logan Street, Brooklyn, New York, 11208? No, he says, what did he say?
Come and see.
Well, come and see. So not only did he sometimes invite himself to somebody's house, he invited other people to where he was staying. Isn't that creative? Get them to come over. Hang out together. All right, Matthew 8, 7. Okay.
He acknowledged their pain and
what else?
And then he offered a solution.
He offered a solution. And the first young lady, what was the solution? He offered to go to their house, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, ladies. So he made himself available to help with the problem. He heard their pain. It was was that the centurion that had either a daughter or a servant, a dearly loved servant that was very ill. And so he offered to go and help and be present there for the pain, for the difficulty. So invite yourself over, invite them to your place, be a part of whatever they're going through. One more, and I'll just add this to you. It's a longer passage, John chapter 4, with the Samaritan woman. As you think through that passage, that story, did Jesus preach a sermon to that woman? Was it a monologue? What was it? It was very much a dialogue. It was interactive. So involve your listeners in the discussion and avoid just a one-way conversation and being preachy at the person. You know, get them involved. Talk together. So those are some lessons from Jesus, and I'm sure there would be many more. That's nearly a dozen of them right there, just for starters. Okay, now just a few lessons from Apostle Paul. Then a little later, I would like to give you some practical ideas that come out of our experience. And then if we have time, I'll give you an opportunity to share what are some of the things that you have done to share the gospel with other people. Now, while we're doing this, first of all, let me read. Let's go to Acts chapter 17. I'm going to read the passage. Let's see, when am I supposed to finish with this? I forgot to bring my... Okay, 2:45. I'm going to read this passage where Paul is at Mars Hill. And I want you to look for lessons we can learn from Apostle Paul and how he witnessed or presented the gospel innovatively or creatively. What was Paul doing there? What was going on? Okay? I will read, then I want to hear from you, and I want to hear from both sides of the aisle. Okay? No going to sleep on me here. Did you hear that? Okay, I'll help you so you don't go to sleep. I will ask you to stand up while I read, okay? Because it's right after lunch. This passage is too good to go to sleep on it. So, now what's your assignment?
Stand up.
Besides standing up. Okay, Aaron didn't get it. Jenny, what's your assignment?
To listen how he
okay, look how... I could do that with you, Aaron, because I know you. We have a lot of fun together. Okay, so you listen to this passage. How did Paul witness creatively or innovatively? Here we go. Acts chapter 17, verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious." Many versions will say this way, "I perceive that you are very religious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, We will hear thee more again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which was Dionysius the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. Now think just a little bit. What did you hear? And as soon as you think you have discovered one creative means that Paul used, then you may sit down. But until you get one, remain standing up, please. Keep thinking. What is one creative thing Paul did to witness here? And Norrell, in the meantime, if you'll get ready to pass out some of this stuff here for me. And the rest of you may be seated as well while you finish thinking, okay? Now, let's see. You know what? First of all, you're going to turn to someone next to you, not your spouse, because you can talk to him or her on your way home, someone else, all right? And you tell them one idea that you got, a creative idea that Paul had in sharing the gospel with these people. And I'll give you 3 minutes when I go like this. That means the other of you gives your idea. Actually, 2 minutes. We'll use 4 minutes for this exercise. Go for it. Okay, second person, give your idea if you haven't done it already. And if you have done it already, then find somebody else to do it too. Okay. How many of you have, this is just a little exam now, how many of you have shared with at least one person? Raise your hands. Okay. What about the rest of you? Maybe we'll start with you first. Huh? Okay, let's hear some of your ideas. Call them out. He didn't directly attack their beliefs. Yes, brother, you were starting to say something.
I use science and talking about all the nations being one blood.
Okay. And in a sense, then there was some humility, right? He was putting himself on the same level with them. We're all the same blood. What else? Pardon me? He used an object lesson. He used logic and common sense. God made everything, so how could he live, be limited to living inside of one building? Yes?
Verse 29, we also use, they're graven images and their idols to point them to the living God.
He used their idols and image to point them to the living God. Okay? So God can't be like these idols. He's alive. All right? He referred to one of their poets as something they knew about. Actually, you have two things there. He referred to something known and proceeded to the unknown. And he referred to one of their poets, one of their own people.
After he was finished, he allowed them to make their own decision.
Okay. He gave them room to make their own decision. He didn't push them in, force them into a decision. What else?
He recognized that verse 32 tells about resurrection, or verse 31, and he recognized that they don't have the basis of the things. God had created everything, they would not understand resurrection either. We shared that last.
Okay, he shared resurrection last because they didn't really understand it. So he started first with something that they would have in common, right? About God, about creation. So here he goes back to creation. Starts with the beginning. Okay? He refers to judgment. Yes, there's a judgment coming. Okay, he pointed out to the greatness of God, saying that he doesn't need buildings and he doesn't need altars and all of this. Is there more? Yes, Victor.
And he invited himself in to reason with them out of the scripture, showed himself friendly to people.
He was friendly with people, and he would reason with people from right where they were. Okay? If you've already spoken once, don't hesitate to give us another idea if you found more. Did you squeeze it all out?
At the beginning, it says he passed through and considered the objects of their worship. He didn't just walk in and immediately start condemning them for their dream. He considered and contemplated on what he should say.
He took time to watch and to ponder, to get acquainted with what was going on. Okay? Thank you, Noel. All right, here are a few more. He took the initiative. He didn't wait until they asked him. He went where they were, where they were gathering. He was respectful and affirmed what was good. He began with their local beliefs and practices. He was also affirming that God was close to them. He said, God is not far from any one of us. He's close to you. He was acquainted with their sayings and literature, and he used things from their culture as a bridge over which to cross with the gospel. And someone mentioned that he used logic, so we know he aimed for their mind and for their conscience. He talked about a judgment coming and repenting of things that we've done that's wrong. He called them to repentance. He pointed to Christ and the resurrection. He was willing to experience mockery and opposition to his message, but he kept sweet through it, because even when people don't agree with your message, they're reading you to see what you're going to do with their reaction to you. And even when they've forgotten your message, they won't forget your face and how you reacted. And rejoice in small signs of progress. There were just a few, but he was happy with those few and be willing to start small. So anyway, those are a few of the things, and I'm sure there would be more there if we would dig a little bit deeper. Okay, now some practical ideas related to the things that I've handed out to you. One of them is this paper. It's a community questionnaire that you can use with people. You can go to someone next door or someone in the mall or wherever, and you just say, "Hi, my name is Alan, and I'm getting acquainted with my neighbors. And one of them to be able to serve in any way possible. And to do so, we're asking a few brief questions. And the first one is," and you hold it where they can see it. And people, being the curious things that we are, and that people ask our opinion, we like to give it, don't we? And because we believe that what we believe is right, otherwise we wouldn't think that way. And so people, and you'd be amazed how you can get into spiritual conversations with people with a simple tool like this. Or another one. You can get the Gospels of John from the Pocket Testament League. And they have different kinds of covers and versions, very attractive. And you just ask, have you gotten one of these? And you can give them a gift. It's the words of Jesus. Sometimes people ask me, what time is it? Or do you know how to get to so-and-so place? I say, it's 2:39 and 13 seconds. And I'd like to ask you to do me a favor. Since I've done you a favor, would you please read this for me? It's a portion from the world's bestseller. They never turn me down. When they ask for a favor, you give them a favor, and people like it. You just go to www.pocketpower.org, and you can get 5 or 10 of them free. You can always get them free. They appreciate donations after you've gotten them. www.pocketpower.org. It's from the Pocket Testament League. Very nice. And or another one that's even cheaper is from our own publisher, Christian Light Publications, Have You Heard the Good News? A summary version of the gospel, a plan of salvation that you can actually read with people and help them pray to receive Christ. You ask them, have you gotten one of these? I'd like to give it to you as a gift. And we all like things that are free, right? In fact, we'll take two of them if it's free. And so you can use that as well. Another thing I like to do with people is I really like to ask questions because people are so interesting. And you can ask all kinds of questions. In addition to my stamp collection, which I've been doing since I'm a boy, I collect questions. And you have a sample of it. That one page that says ask a question. And you can ask people questions and people will talk. They like to talk about what they like to think, what they think about. And so you ask them those questions. Just a little bit down the page.
On the left column, you will see a series of questions.
And one of them is, do you have any kind of spiritual belief? To you, who is Jesus Christ? You just go through those questions with people. And ask them what they think, asking questions. There's a book that's especially good about that called by Bill Fay, and it's Sharing Jesus Without Fear. You could probably go online and get a used copy, as I did. Sharing Jesus Without Fear by Bill Fay, and it's a very helpful, practical book about asking questions. Telling stories. You have that on the page as well. Tell a story. And I've talked to you about that a little earlier. The parables and other stories Jesus told, and in some ways that the stories can be classified, telling stories to people. Another one is that we have used is telling our own story, how I came to know Christ, and how what I was before I met Christ, how I met him, what difference he's made in my life, and if they have met him. Another one is acts of service or kind deeds, just looking for ways to serve people. As simple as opening a door for someone or helping them in some way. Another one is gifts, especially around Christmas and Easter or Thanksgiving time, giving people a gift, pumpkin pie or a Jesus DVD or a booklet such as this or a New Testament. Just so many things that you can do to show your love to people. Another one I've enjoyed is offering to pray for people. Sometimes we've gone door to door, just a very low-key way, say we're out meeting our neighbors, and we're just so thankful that God's brought you to our neighborhood. We're Christians, and one of the things we like to do is pray for our neighbors and thank God for them. Is there anything you'd like us to pray about for you that's of particular concern today? If they say, no, that's all right, well, fine. Let's thank God that you don't have any pressing problems right now. And that you are in our neighborhood. And then I leave with them a gift like the Gospel of John or something else. But many people do appreciate prayer. Not all, but many people do. Food. Cookouts, ice cream, coffee, a special dish, sharing favorite recipes, especially around Christmas and Thanksgiving times are great times to do that. Or people's birthdays and anniversaries. Food. A related one is gardening and sharing produce with people. I have a little backyard garden. And I give neighbors a tomato or a cucumber and say, I didn't know they tasted like that. That's so good. Yeah, I said, that's the way they're supposed to taste. You'll never get any fresher than this. I just picked it off. I have a neighbor that when I asked him in a snowstorm to help me get a gate open, to help my wife get the gate open because I just had a surgery, he says, and don't forget my tomato. I said, I gave that to you last summer. No, he says, it's still coming next summer. Okay, Nelson, okay. I hear you. All right, game nights, inviting a family over to have children, playing games together, and having ice cream. Holidays, inviting them to go with you or to do something together. Hobbies, finding out about their hobbies. In Eldora, where I was teaching at EBI, I found out that the man who worked on my car has a stamp collection. So next week when I go to Mongolia to visit the family there, guess what? I'm going to go to a store and buy some Mongolian stamps to take along with me. And next year, when I go to EBI, get my car serviced, I'm going to take those stamps along for him and ask if I can see his collection. And you know why. Okay, problems and irritations. You know, sometimes we see people doing stuff that just downright irritates us. The other week, I was walking in the park, and I saw this couple making out, and it was very embarrassing. I won't embarrass you by describing it. It was embarrassing to me as a married man. My first thought was, oh, no, look what these young people are going. And then the next one was, what if they were my children? Wouldn't I want somebody to do something? So I walk up to them, and in the middle of I say, excuse me, are you married? No. And so we got into a conversation. Right? So instead of cursing the darkness, you know, light a candle, right? There's plenty of opportunities for that in our country these days. Okay, and there would be more stuff, but I got to quit. Okay, now let me hear some of your ideas, things that you have done to share the gospel or a witnessing encounter with people. Let's hear you share it. We've got 2 minutes, and I'll squeeze one out of Victor's. Okay? What are some things you've done, creative things, that you can share the gospel with people?
Use your telephone.
Use your telephone, of course. Of course. Offer people a ride.
We had an interesting thing happen with us. We were passing out business water for our business, and our neighbors across the street, there were a couple kids there, and one of them was like, well, I'm selling a fundraiser for our school, and it's a cookie dough. Would you like to buy some? And so I told him, well, come over to our house tomorrow. I'm going to talk to Thomas first. And so I think it was his brother and sister came over, and we got the conversation and bought cookie dough from them. And they've been off and on, they'd seen our church group out playing volleyball in our yard. Can we come over and play? Yeah, sure. We have a Bible study on Sunday nights, and you know, if y'all want to be part of that, that kind of thing. So they came over on a regular basis since then, and just kind of made friends with
some. Wonderful, Jesse. That's great. Okay, what else? Okay, I'm going to teach you something. Yes?
I had a call this week that from the head office at Green Cross, and she said, June, could you go over to see Harriet? She said she lost her hearing aid, and she couldn't find it. She's a 92-year-old lady, and she couldn't see. So I went over, and Harriet said, well, I don't know if you can get down there or not. I said, yes, I can get down. Her hearing aid was underneath that she couldn't find it. And I reached down and picked it up, and it squealed. And I told her, I said, yeah, here it is. It's squeaking at me. She gave me a big hug and thanked me for that. And I said, anytime, Harriet.
Wonderful.
You can be
Amen. Wonderful. There's a kind deed, right? Kind service. And don't forget in those times to offer a word of encouragement or a prayer or something about Jesus. Take advantage of it, right? Yes?
I did some sewing for somebody. They had just bought a new outfit and she wanted me just to make some changes on it. So I did that for her on Friday.
Wonderful. That's great. Okay, now I'll give you something really deep. I mean, this is really deep, and I made it to rhyme, so it'll be helpful for you. All right. So, here it goes like this. If you are shy, try saying what, Heather? And if you are shy, and remember it rhymes, try saying hi. Jesus said that we're supposed to be friendly. Don't only greet those that greet you. Oh, even sinners do that. So, you repeat it with me, right? Together, one, two, three. If you are shy, try saying hi. A smile helps too, right? Okay, say hi to people. And you can get into conversation with them. Paul said like this, and with this I conclude. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And when we're listening to the Holy Spirit, He is going to make us creative and find means by which to get close to people and share the gospel with them. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we offer ourselves right now to you again to be creative, proactive, initiative witnesses for you. Would you come down upon us in a fresh way by your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of mission of witness, and empower us, help us to be alert to see and to seize those opportunities, whether it's a hearing aid under a furniture, or whether it's a boy wanting to sell some cookies, or whether it's sewing something. Help us to be alert. And we're trusting you to do that beyond what we could have imagined possible. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for your participation.